while I'm laying down. It's a joy to a righteous man to do justice, but dismay to the workers of iniquity. So, as we get started in here, we're going to look at a couple of things that I kind of pulled up. I'm a kind of a geek when it comes to these types of things, because I think it's kind of a thermometer, or it's a sampling, if you will, of the culture and what's going on. It's a way to measure. And so it's not, doesn't mean necessarily anything to the body of Christ. It just means what's happening in and around, what's taking place. So TD Ameritrade survey of 2018, this was kind of interesting. 53% of millennials expect to be millionaires one day, okay? Like, going pretty high hopes. I know when I was, you know, 18 to 20, becoming a millionaire was something you're like going, man, that'd be great. But you didn't say, I'm going to be a millionaire one day. You had aspirations to it, but did not see that high percentage of people back in my day. I just did not. Brokerage firm sponsored this. 1,500 Americans in that were put in for this, to test on this. And like I said, 53 said that they believe they'd become millionaires. Now, here's the interesting fact. 7% said it would happen by the age of 30. Okay? 19, which is one-fifth almost, by age 40. 16% by 50. 7% of people said by 60 or later. Others said that they were already close to being a millionaire. And I'm like going, having a hard time believing that. But high numbers for the millennials becoming millionaires. Now, in contrast to that, May 2018 Chicago Tribune, capitalism, this is kind of neat. These are actual cuts from the paper here, and you can see that this is May. So just a couple months ago, capitalism has been, and this is from Chicago Tribune, absolutely a shock to see this, but capital has been the most dynamic force for economic progress in history. Over the past century, it's delivered billions of people out of miserable poverty, raised living standards to once unimaginable heights, enabled unprecedented and flourishing of productive creativity. But young Americans, it's finding itself on trial. Okay, University of Chicago did a survey too. Now, they extended it out to 34, and they had basically 62% said that we need a strong government. Now, the strong government is the contentious part of this. What's a strong government, okay? To handle today's complex problems, 35% said the free market can handle it fine, okay? 65%, what do you think the strong government, what do you think that is dog whistle talk for? Okay, 49% of this group hold favorable opinion of capitalism. 45% have a positive view of socialism. Socialism gets higher ranks amongst minorities. 61% of Democrats take a positive view of socialism. Look at this down here. And 25% of Republicans. Now, I've never met any Republicans that fall into that. Maybe in and around the Chicago area, the Republicans that are there, maybe they do. I don't know. I kind of find that last part hard to believe. But I do know this. It is on an increase, because you see that in churches that are accepting new things, and it's on a high, fast increase on that. So where I never thought the churches would buckle this easy, to see other people that are weak people, the Republicans might, you know, there could be. I don't see that in any of the circles that I go to. But here's what we're looking at, and this is where I wanted to break this out. It's kind of funny, because this has been on my heart here for a couple weeks. Well, I go to the thing last night with Kobach and find out also that Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Arcazo, whatever her name is, are coming to Kansas, to Wichita, to perform for the Democratic governor, okay, that's going to be running against Kobach. And I'm like going, I didn't even know that until last night. I'm like, golly, yeah, this comes right into it. So it's been bothering me, because I see all this social justice stuff. Social justice is absolutely creeping in to all parties, everything, all the way across the board, to include religious organizations as well. And so I'm like going, okay, it's time to we gotta define and go through and kind of cut through this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, the two platforms, if you could have poster childs for social justice right now, is Bernie Sanders and this Alexandria Ocasio. She's like that 28-year-old girl who just upset that incumbent guy in New York. Okay? She is as social justice as they come. Absolutely.
What is social justice?
We're going to do it. We're going to see it. So here's the problem with this. Is it's being passed around And social justice is now a term for equality. Well, you look at it and you're like, well, I don't want to be the person. So it's the euphemism, if you will, for equality. Well, I don't want equality. Well, what's wrong with you? Okay. Well, what does social justice mean? And that's where we're going to kind of break this down. Because I'm going to show you exactly where this comes from and why, as groups of people, we have to combat it when we see it. And when you hear other people talk about it, you have to know facts about it to be able to do this and use scriptures to show. Because the problem is, as you'll see when we get into here, this has absolutely infiltrated Christianity. Absolutely infiltrated it. So, social justice. Now, this is right from Wikipedia. Concept of fair, again, it always makes me laugh. Concept of fair and just relations between individual and society. This is measured by explicit and tacit terms for the distribution of wealth, opportunities for personal activity, and social privileges. Well, who can argue against that? Okay? Who can argue against that? And so here's what we're going to see, because I'm going to show you some of the stuff that is associated with this. Here is, right from this is a screen capture. Resource map of social justice topics. Okay? Here's what you have. Child labor, death penalty, economic justice. You can see these. AIDS, HIV, terrorism, U.S. poverty, debt, elections, genocide, trade, water, discrimination, environment, global change. You see all kinds of stuff. It basically is, you think of it this way. Social justice has put up this gigantic tent piece in the middle of this gigantic canopy. Now, anything that can weasel its way under to get into it, you can easily squeeze it in under the social justice clause. Okay, and that's what's happening. Initially, it was just inequality. That's all it was, inequality. Well, what does that mean? What's inequality? Okay, what's inequality? What if I wanted to be an NFL quarterback? Okay? Why can't I be? Well, because I don't have the skills for it. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair for me not to have that. Okay? So, you know what I want for equality? I want you to go break the arms of every NFL quarterback so that they can't throw the ball either. Now, that's equality. They can't throw the ball. I can't throw the ball. Okay? So here we go. So here's what's happened now with this. And you've seen this. Bernie Sanders had it at this last election. It was kind of funny. Came out and said, well, I gotta explain to everybody what democratic socialism is. And people are like, well, what is it? And then he wouldn't explain it. Okay? So I will. I'll do it for him. Okay, democratic socialism and the social justice, it's two words for the same thing. Two words for the exact same thing. The problem is that one side is going to say social justice because they don't want to include the socialism into it. Okay, this whole social justice came about through democratic socialism. So when you know the roots, if you want to jump onto that tree and be part of that vine, so be it. Just know where it's coming from, and that's the whole thing with it. So here it is, democratic socialism. Here, this, which is so funny because I was working on this here for the last week, and I went to Alexandria Ocasio's webpage to pull up her platform and then find out last night that she's coming to Wichita to run, to help with Bernie Sanders to run against Kobach. Whoever the Democrats that they're pushing for, okay? Which, that's not a good thing. If these guys are coming to support him, this is a very bad dude. Very bad dude, okay? So right off her webpage, here's what it is. Medicare for all. It's a human right. It's a human right. Second one, guaranteed job. Third one, tuition-free college. Non-private prisons. I don't know where that comes from, but gun control. Forgive all student loan debt. Green New Deal. Okay. No explanation of what these are, but a Green New Deal and climate justice. Okay, that's all wrapped in there together. Open borders, and basically the government is the one source of everything. Okay, this is it. Now, what was funny about her is she ran a business, and she stiffed her employees all the time because she was in charge of a lot of the girls working tables, and she would take all the tips and she was supposed to split them, and she never would. A lot of those people had called and complained. I'm like going, so it's kind of interesting. I guess it's socialism is for you, but not necessarily for me. Okay, but this is where it is. And so when you hear the democratic socialism, I want to show you the origins. We're going to start here all the way back to Karl Marx in 1818. Our country, okay, our constitution and everything was actually put through in 1791, okay? We are a new country. We are just starting off. We're starting to build up. Karl Marx, born in 1818. Here are some fun facts. In 1818, 94% of the world's population lived in poverty. That is not a typo. Meaning 6% of the world's population were not in poverty. 84%, only 10% less, lived in extreme poverty in 1818. This is worldwide, okay? 93, okay, Vladimir Lenin relabeled the Communist Party to Social Democrats. Okay, you know why he did that? Communism was too tough a pill for most people to swallow back in those days. So he called it the Social Democrats. Nothing changed. It was just a pretty label to put on what was a bad rap for people fighting against communism. Well, democratic socialism, we can deal with that. So he called them the Social Democrats. And so Bernie would very coyly just switch the two words around so that nobody would know what we're talking about here. Okay, his push was for a violent revolution. This is what he was looking for. Marxism, democratic socialism, and communism basically equal to 100 million deaths between the last 100 years. Okay, this is what it brought about. And so when we're referring to social justice, we can't be snowed by what the actual intent is and where it's coming from. Even from people who may use that term innocently, if you will, not knowing what it is, this is where we need to be able to educate people and show them and explain to them exactly what this means. Okay, today, here's the cool thing. 9.6% of the world's population lives in extreme poverty. Okay, why? Because of what took place with free trade, with capitalism. Capitalism is what drove that whole thing to free all those people and to be able to make things happen. And so now we're looking at it where we want to go backwards, and that's where I'm kind of looking at. So when I type in, this is a snapshot from Google. I did not roll down the page or do anything else. Social justice and Christianity. Here's what you get. Only Christians understand true social justice. Social justice is a Christian tradition, not a liberal agenda. Social justice on topics, Christians and views of social justice. Tons of them, pages of this. And I scroll through some of these, and it's all defense how Christians should be on board with social justice. All of it is just riddled with it. I had to find through and pick through ones to find where people actually were saying, don't buy into this. This is junk. This is absolute junk. And so this is what's happening when people are going out. Now, obviously, it's run by Google, so if Google wants to stack the deck, so be it. But when people are going out and they type in social justice and Christianity, somebody told me that Christ would have been a social justice warrior. I didn't know that. How do you combat this? How do you say, okay, wait a second, let's talk about this, and let's go over some things, and let's talk about a few scriptures that might give you new light to it. So that's what we're going to do here. What happens when the government controls everything? Okay? Here you see in Proverbs 22:7, the rich over the poor beareth rule, and the slave is the borrower to the lender. The rich... okay, when you become the government, you control all funds. Everybody has to be enslaved to the government. The government takes it. It's that way now for funding. They take state funding from states, and then for the states to get it back, they got to kiss the ring of the federal government to get it back. It's been this way for years. And if you don't do this, we'll withhold the money that we took from you. Okay, and so you have to beckon to what they say, whether it's righteous or not, and this is why the government, when you look at that, this is where we're looking for the social justice side. Becoming dependent on the state makes you a slave. Social programs, and this has always been this way, initially sound great to someone who's in need, okay, but the programs always, it's a step. It's not a coincidence that the Democrats relabeled everything also to progressivism. Progressivism is what Hillary Clinton said she was. Okay? She was no different. She was using progressivism versus democratic socialism. Okay? Because she also thought socialism is still a hard pill for a lot of people in the United States to swallow. Okay? It still is. There's no difference. They are absolutely neck and neck with each other. Progressivism is exactly that. It's pushing forward this agenda one step, one step, one step to get to this desired position. Individual freedoms are forever lost. And all eventually become wards of the state. We become slaves to it. So it's funny, when I was in Korea, or not Korea, in Okinawa, we were there just for North Korea. And Kim Jong-un was the president. He was the father of Kim Jong-il. And we were getting intel reports all the time. He was consuming one-third of the North Korean's GDP himself. For himself. He was the world's...
Well, explain to the kids what GDP is.
It's basically what the country produces. Okay, so he was taking a third of it for him. Okay, everything. And people were literally starving to death. And he was the largest single buyer of Hennessy, which is cognac, in the entire world. Him. Okay? And so you see this. This is like going, so the country's starving to death. Him and his ilk are doing pretty well. Okay? And this is where, this is eventually where that euphoric, you know, state works its way to. This is it. Because now they're in complete charge. Everybody else is slaves. You do what we say or we pretty much off you if we don't want you to. And this is where it all goes. Okay, under socialism, media programs, basically they control everything. They get, and here's what happens. Controlling the government, ruling elite, so there's a real and present danger again. Yahweh's work. And that is, you'll probably see that here in Wichita. So when you see that, that is the Democratic Socialist flag of America. Okay? They sell these. I got this picture. This came off Amazon. They actually sell these. Okay? This is it. They are not hiding it. This is what Bernie Sanders is a member of. This is what Alexander Ocasio is a member of. They don't hide this. And you know what? Thank you. Thank you. Hillary Clinton, you wouldn't come out behind that mask and say what you were. These guys are. They're going to tell you this is what they are. They're the same. It's just they're going to tell you who they are. But that is it. That is, you know, whatever that means there. I don't even know how that symbol is to be read, but that's it. Okay. You think of it as compassionate Christian, it's actually antithetical to everything that Christianity teaches, and I'm going to show you why. It's based on materialistic worldview, okay? In socialism, there is no spiritual stuff. It is stuff. Things that you can physically put your hands on. That's what it is. That's where it comes down to. The reason is because they don't want you to look at something else. If you have a higher power that's not them, you're going to be looking for your stuff from someone else instead of getting it from them. So here it is right here is Bernie Sanders quote. The issue, I can't do the Bernie Sanders quotes, it just kills me. The issue of wealth and income inequality is a great moral issue of our time. It is the great economic issue of our time and it is the great political issue of our time. Okay? This is what he said during this last campaign. So, the issue of wealth, income inequality. Okay, moral issue. Karl Marx didn't believe in anything non-materialistic, which basically got rid of a creator. Okay, suffering is caused by what? Somebody else having more than you. Okay? So what's salvation? Equal distribution of stuff. I take half of your stuff, now we have salvation. And that was under Karl Marx, that's what he believed. Okay? Karl Marx is the leader and the head of the communism, the socialist, because it's when you wrap them together, it's really splitting hairs between it all. It really is. Okay, everything is equal, all problems are solved under that kind of thing. So here we go. We're going to come in here, we're going to look at some scriptures, and these would be scriptures when you come across people who are pushing this or saying, well, why not? Why not have it? Why would Christ, you know? And they'll throw out scriptures. I've heard them. Okay, some of the scriptures that people will throw out. And like going, well, here, it is also written. And so let's do this. Let's go to 25. Okay, see, it's on page 28 in the New Testament. Okay, who would like to read that there? 25, 20 through 29. Okay, thank you, sweetie. Let me start off here real quick. Let me set the preface because I kind of, for sake of time, I kind of cut this down. This is the parable of the talents. Remember, one person was given five, one person was given two, one person was given one. Okay. Now we're picking up there after that's already been done, starting in verse 20.
Okay. And he who the five talents had received, coming forward, brought another five talents, saying, "Lord, five talents to me. Thou didst deliver up. See, other five talents I gained." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Over a few things wast thou faithful. Over many things will I appoint thee. Entering into the joy of thy Lord." He also of the two talents coming forward said, "Lord, two talents to me didst thou deliver up. See, other two talents I gained." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Over a few things wast thou faithful. Over many things will I appoint thee. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." But he who the one talent had received, coming forward, said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering whence thou hast not renowned, and overcome with fear, I went away and hid my talent in the ground. See that thou hast what is thine. And his lord answered and said unto him, O wicked servant and cowardly, knewest thou that I reap where I have not sown, and gather whence I have not owned? It was binding on me, therefore to cast my silver into the money changers, and when I came, my dove obtained what is mine with interest. Therefore take away from him the talent, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For to every one that hath shall be given, and shall be made to abound. But from him that hath not, even what he hath shall be taken away from him.
Wow! Ouch! Okay, what's that say? Not my words. Okay, and so here we see it. Is this sound fair? You know, the guy with 5 talents made 10. The guy with 2 talents made a total of 4. And what did he say? He got the same recognition, same accolades. Okay? And so it's not a matter of what you're given. It's not the equal to where we're saying this. And so this is one of the scriptures here. I kind of found a picture I thought was kind of neat of basically what they referred to as the silver that could have been used in that day. I just thought it was kind of a cool picture. Quality of life is not determined by what? By how much junk we have or how much our neighbor has. Okay? It's not. And you look at the people, you look at Michael Jackson, for example. Okay? Is that the right guy? I'm thinking, yeah, Michael Jackson. They have millions of dollars, could have anything you want, and absolutely miserable. Okay, so other people would be like, well, I want what he has. And you're like, going, you actually really don't want what he has. What he has is going to kill you. Okay, but our relationship with Yahweh and Christ. Social justice. So here's a few points I wanted to show you here about what it does and how it goes against Christianity. First thing here, punishes virtue. Okay, this is Karl Marx. From each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. Well, that sounds pretty passive. It sounds all right. Okay, but it's not. It's not at all. The risk of removing Yahweh's rewards and consequences. Okay, if Yahweh wants to reward somebody for something they have done great, who is the government to come in and take half of it and give it to somebody who's the problem? You're the ones who caused the rain not to fall on the land, and I'm supposed to give half of this to you? Okay? No, this is Yahweh would scorn you for that. Okay, so on the same point, this is where I say the risk of that, the punishing virtues, sometimes that might be the open, you know, door light, if you will. The, hey, something's wrong here. You check your gauges. What's going on here? I'm getting a message. Yes, it's Yahweh telling you, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. Okay, something's wrong here. And if you continue doing this, it may cause other ramifications. We don't have somebody else coming and say, well, we'll just take care of that for you. No, you have to take care of this. So that's why I say it removes the rewards and the consequences. Can punish those who are industrious and paying for those who are not, and it can reward those who aren't industrious by giving your fruits, your labors, to somebody who does not. We see in Yahweh's word that it teaches to have aid coming from somebody, there's responsibility to it. Well, guess what there is with the government? Zero responsibility that's tied to it. Okay, when the government gives it to you, you just will give it to who and where we want. When it comes from Yahweh and it comes from the church, it comes from the body, there is responsibility. There are tags, or what would you say? There's not consequences. There's expectances that come with that aid. Okay, there's things with that come with that, and so we have to look at that and see. Well, that goes against it. So flip over to 2 Thessalonians to the right on page 213, chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, and I will read this one here. Okay, starting in verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we were giving in charge unto you, that if any will not work, neither let him eat. Now, a lot of people just stop right there, and I've quoted that before too. When we hear, in fact, of some who are walking among you in disorderly way, at nothing working, yet too busily working. Now such as these we charge and exhort in Lord Yahushua Christ, that with quietness working their own bread they be eating. Okay? So this way saying, if this is what you're going to do, then enjoy it. Okay? But if you're not willing to work, then you are not going to get anything. And so this again goes against that social justice. Social justice endorses the stealing. So President Obama, when he was on the campaign, he came across a girl, and the media made this big event out of it, and the girl was asking him about it. Well, I don't understand it. And he was telling, he said, well, let's say you had a whole pizza, and your friend didn't have any. Wouldn't you want to give her a piece? And the girl's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay. So this is metaphor. We're supposed to just give it away to anybody who needs it, okay? And the Bible's very clear on helping out the needy, okay? If we have need, if we have ability, and somebody's in need, we are to help them out. That's absolutely correct. Not by the spear, a Roman spear, or a government spear, you know, with somebody with a gun at your back saying, you will do this. And if you don't, you're going to go to jail. We're going to send you to jail. No private property. Here's where we start getting into it. Social justice. No private property, at least for you. Okay, that's what always makes me laugh. The people who have it, you know, if you talk to them and said, well, let me have your iPhone, okay, because somebody else needs that. Oh, that's mine. Okay, no, it's really not yours. See, that's how that works. Economic and political system, Christian, it must protect private ownership. For Christianity, must protect private ownership and allow individual freedom so that basically you can allocate it how you want. So think about this in the beginning. In the beginning, we know that the adversary thought that Yahweh should just make everybody obey. Okay? Crack that whip. Everybody has to obey. Everybody has to worship you. Everybody has to do that. And there was not that way. Okay? Well, this is no different. Okay? This is the government doing the exact same thing. Make everybody do this, and if they don't, we'll take care of them. We'll smack them down. Okay? And Yahweh said, no, people have to be able to do that. And why? Because you'll see that there's rewards that are available as well for people who do it. Social justice encourages envy and class warfare. So Aristotle put this down. Men start revolutionary changes for reasons connected with their private lives. Okay? Absolutely. And then this one here again, Bernie Sanders. Let us wage a moral and political war against the billionaires and corporate leaders on Wall Street and elsewhere whose policies and greed are destroying middle-class America. Okay? And I know I've told this before, but in the book, Rules for Radicals, the Saul Alinsky book, their whole footprint is to remove the middle class. Okay? And the reason they get rid of the middle class is because the middle class is content. He calls them the haves, have-nots, and the middle class are the have-some-want-more. Okay? If you get rid of the have-some-want-more and they become have-nots, they will revolt and you will bring about a revolutionary change in your country. And so they want to get rid of the middle class. So the whole time that they're pretending that they are passing for protecting the middle class, they're doing the exact opposite to destroy the middle class. Destroy. So when you go buy a computer and Bill Gates gets a little bit of money for it and helps you, you run your business off of it. Okay, is that what we're talking about? That Bill Gates is ruining America because of that? And that's where I look at that and I'm like, well, this is just a joke. U.S. economy requires toppling of the wealthiest 1%. That's Hillary. Okay, toppling of the 1%. 1% pays almost half of the federal tax. What's that to the government if you topple them? Okay, you spread that out. Venezuela, when they took over the gas, the most wealthy, gas-rich country in all of South America and Central America, and a lot of people said in the world, okay? But it was for South America and Central America, most gas-wealthy. They took it over from the private countries, the government did, and then they started just sending out all the stuff. Well, then when the gas pumps started breaking down, people were making tons. Now they're importing their own gas. Okay, because it's all gone awry. And so this is what happens. When you take over and you seize it all and distribute it all, and now it's all gone, now what? Now who keeps filling the shelves? And that's why I'm like going, you know, this whole thing, almost half of that tab is paid by that top 1%. I'm like going, hey, you know what that top 1% is? Anybody want to take a guess what that is in an annual salary? $630,000 a year. Every professional sport player, almost. I think the league minimum for NFL is like 500 and some right now. Okay? It's 1%. Okay? It's 1%. And I'm like going, seriously?
NFL votes for Hillary.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like going, okay, there you go. We got to topple y'all, guys. They won't tell you what that 1% is. I will. It's $630,000. Millionaires and billionaire talk. We heard that over and over again. They are the victims. Okay? Why? Because they have money. Now, how they got the money, whether they did it by doing righteous things, unrighteous things, they have the money, but they're the target. They're the target. So if you are just under a millionaire, I guess you're okay. Okay? But the millionaires and billionaires, that's who we go after. We pick on these guys. So we have to have We have to have a focal point of who our objective is, and that's them. Not causing the problems in American society. They're producing the jobs, products, and wealth for others. Thank goodness for them. And I had that discussion with somebody about, you know, somebody who bought like a G5, and it's about a $5 million personal aircraft. Awesome. Absolutely gorgeous. I'm like going, the amount of money that all the way across the board, Milton Friedman did that on the making of a pencil. And he talked about how many people are involved in making a pencil, the eraser, where it came from, the metal binding that come from it, the graphite, the wood, the paint, and it was coming from all around the world, different places, and somebody manufacturing it. He said, this is how things come together. And yet, to make this pencil, all these people were employed to do this to be able to create something. And I'm like going, yeah. So when these guys, if somebody wants to buy something and now it's going to create all these jobs from them, I'm like going, now you get to enjoy that wealth from their wealth as well. And this is what's happened. This is the capitalism that has brought in our time now down to the extreme poverty down to, you know, 9%. This is what's done it. Okay, flip over to Exodus here real quick. Page 103, Old Testament. Chapter 20, it's down at the very, very bottom of the page 103. Who'd like to read for me?
I will.
Thank you.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not testify against thy neighbor with the witness of falsehood. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his servant, nor his handmaid, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything which belongs to that neighbor.
That's it. Now, here's what's funny about this. The social justice crowd has taken this and just inverted it. They're doing it backwards, okay? They're coveting it. First thing we do is we covet millionaires and billionaires, okay? And then what do? Well, we testify falsely against them, okay, about what they're doing. They're killing it. They're killing the middle class. You're middle class. They're killing you. And then they steal, okay? So they're doing this exact same thing. They're just doing it from the bottom up, okay? And that's what we have to look at when we see that. And so it's we can call them out on that as they do that, like going, okay, so which part are you starting at? Okay, are we doing the false testifying? You're bearing false witness against somebody, the coveting, or are we ready to steal already? What part are we in on this? Flip over to Philippians all the way across here.
That's also what the parable, the bad steward said, I know that you reap where you have not sown.
Yeah.
So you vilified the boss.
Yeah,
the boss was leader and not him.
Yeah, and so yeah, here's my excuse for it. Yeah, that we're gonna make it. It's okay to
do
it.
You stole all this anyways.
So Philippians, okay, page 204. You want to read for me? You don't want to read from your book? Okay. All right. 11 through 13. Go ahead. Thank you, buddy.
Not that as to coming short, I am speaking, for I have learned in whatsoever circumstances I am to be independent. I know that it is even to kept low, and I know what it is to have more than enough. In every way and all things have I been let into the secret, both be well fed and to be hungering, both to have more than enough, and to becoming short. I have made for all things in him that empowers me.
That's right, and we all know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, and so here we see this, where he's talking about that. What are we supposed to do in here? So I'm going to show you one other thing on here. This is the word independent, okay? So when you look in verse 11, and it says that, not becoming short, I'm speaking, in whatsoever circumstances, I am to be independent, okay? And I like the word independent, okay? Other ones will translate it content, sufficient for oneself, strong enough for processing enough, to need no aid or support, independent of external circumstances. Basically, what it's saying is that regardless of where you are, where he's saying, I've been well fed and I've been hungered. And in all of these, I was content. I was content. Okay, I did not look at the other people who were well fed. I was content. And that's where we should be. To be, okay, no, there's nothing wrong with that. You find people, some of the times where you think about that, in times where you really struggled, that you look back at that and you're like going, you know, it was tough times, but they were good times. They were really good times. And I made great memories during those times. And I do. I can look back at that. I think about delivering papers. Holy cow, what a thankless job. Thankless job. And yet I get the money from it, and I'd be like going, I've got no bills. This is all mine to spend. And I was the most ecstatic I could possibly be. And then when I go buy something, I'm like going, I think about all those cold Sunday mornings, getting up and folding that phone book in half because the paper was so damn heavy and so thick. And I'd go out to deliver it, and I'd be like going, do I really want that? That was a lot of work to get this. And I'm like going, it was a great experience for me, even though I never hoped to have to go back to that again. It was, though. And at that time, though, I remember my dog going with me. My dad would help me on really cold days. And great experiences. I was content. I was very content. Okay? And this is it. So, here's one of the other points here of the social justice. Okay? Socialism seeks to destroy marriage and families. Now, people here are like, oh, come on. Are you serious? Okay? Absolutely, I'm serious. Absolutely, to a T, I'm serious. That it is a breakdown, okay? Little known fact about socialism, from the beginning, it sought to destroy marriage and family, okay? And I'm going to show you that this is a quote here. Essentially, what socialism seeks is for the state to replace the family. That way, it can indoctrinate children in its ways of thinking and remove from them any notions of God or religion, okay? This is Paul Kengor. He was a professor, and from his book, it was called Takedown, From Communists to Progressives, How the Left is Sabotaging Marriage and Family. And it is absolutely correct. That's why when you see that when Barack Obama put his webpage out, it was the whole lives thing. And what was, I can't remember what the girl's name was. Okay, and it was all basically stick figures, faceless figures, but it was a woman. And it showed from her from birth, okay, that the government was there to take care of her. And then when she went to college, it was to take care of her. And then when she needed her first abortion, the government took care of her. And then when she had kids and no husband, the government took care of her. And then when she got older, Social Security took care of her. Okay? And it was her whole life with nothing but the government. And I'm like going, that is not by coincidence that that came out. This is what, hey, they'll take care of everything for me. They'll do it all. And it is, it's to break it down. There was no family in there. There was no ideology of a greater power. That's how it was. Single family ceases to be the economic unit of society. Private housekeeping is transformed into a social industry. Care and education of the children becomes a public affair. Okay? You know who wrote that?
Engels.
Right there. Frederick Engels. He is the actual. Marx was the person who came up with it. Engels was one of his biggest contributors to it. A lot of people actually say that communism came from Engels and not from Karl Marx. Okay? That's his quote, not my quote. Okay, so when you hear people say, oh, come on, so breaking down the families and marriages, right there, right from the author of communism, okay? Single family ceases to be the economic unit of society, and care and education of the children becomes a public affair. That's why when you hear some of these people, like when they say, it takes a village, Hillary Clinton wrote that book, it takes a village, you know what that meant? Even some of the people on media, I've heard that. The mistake is a quote, or I'm kind of paraphrasing it. The mistake is, these people think that those children are theirs. They are not. And that is exactly what came off the media from what they were saying. And that's what they feel like. Because we'll raise them, we know better. We know better than these, you know, these rubes out in the country who are going to teach them about God and evolution and, or not teach them about evolution and not teach them about these things. We'll do it for them. It's better for them. And this is where it came from, right from the history. Bernie Sanders calls for a revolution in child care for the government to provide early childhood education / care beginning with children as young as 6 weeks old.
Terrifying.
It is. And so this is where it comes from. And so when you hear the social justice, it leaks in. It's basically, again, think of it as the big tent pole. And everything is just filtering in. All this garbage is basically, the sewer is overflowing and all this stuff is seeping inside there. And that's what we're getting. And anybody who has any cause is throwing it in with this. Okay? And this is what we're seeing. And so social justice sounds so great. Bernie's a proud supporter of the homosexual marriage. Do you know what Paul Kengor said about this? He says it's the Trojan horse for communism. He said, it's their Trojan horse. This is it. Hmm. So when he's the guy who wrote that book about the breakdown, and he said that this is how they will do it. This is one of the ways of doing it to break down traditional marriage. Okay? So what justice here then were we talking about when we talk about it? So when you take social, and you define social, and then you define what justice is, and then you put the two together, it's almost an oxymoron. Okay? They do not fit together. They don't fit together. Social and justice are two different things. They're completely two different things. And you cannot have social justice. To make, and I've always heard it this way, You can make everybody wealthy, but you can make everybody poor. You cannot make everybody good-looking, but you can mar everybody up to make them all ugly. Okay? There is no equality. There never will be. Even Christ said that. Remember when the woman was washing his feet? And the apostles were saying, well, we could use that to feed the poor or do something. He's like, well, it's always going to be poor. It will always be poor. Okay? And there is. So whose justice are we referring to? Flip over to Proverbs here. Back to Proverbs. And we are on page 631. 28:4-5. And I will read that as soon as everybody gets there. 631, bottom right corner. They who forsake instruction praise one who is lawless, while they who keep instruction are at strife with them. Wicked men consider not justice, but they who seek Yahweh consider everything. Okay? So the people who are referring justice have no clue what justice is because they are wicked people. Okay? Only the righteous, okay? They who seek Yahweh consider everything. Okay? And so again with this, that it's not justice. There is no justice in this. This is, as we're getting ready to close up here, this was kind of an interesting one I saw here. Okay? Came from this guy here. He wrote this, Manly P. Hall. What a name, Manly.
Manly P.
Secret testing in America. The half-truth is the most dangerous form of lie because it can be defended in part by incontestable logic. Because if you have half of it, you can always argue that half. And so by virtue of that, justice and social, you can push one portion into the other and defend it and contest it. And what it does is it opens the door for all the rest of the junk to flow in, okay, for it to come through with that. And so the half-truths, remember what the adversary did when he told them, you know, when he came to Adam and Eve, he told them half-truths. It was partially right and it was partially wrong. Half-truths will steer you away and pull you away from it. Not be deceived by the social justice. Last one here. Let's flip back over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. And on page 188. One of you kids want to read that for me?
I wrote.
Okay. You haven't read yet. Go ahead, sweetheart. Wait till everybody gets there. I'm still looking forward, actually, myself, too. 11:3-4. Okay.
But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent completely deceived Eve in his craftiness, your minds should be corrupted from the singleness and the chasteness which are due unto the Christ. For if indeed that he cometh in is proclaiming another Jesus, whom we have not proclaimed, or a different spirit, ye are receiving which ye had not received, or a different glad message which ye have never welcomed, ye are well buried.
That's it. Okay, and so here's the thing. Where the communists, the initial ones, everything was matter. Okay, it was matter. Physical things you can touch and hold and feel. Okay, and what does the word say that our battle is?
Spiritual.
Okay, it's spiritual battle. And so when we try to incorporate half-truths of the justice part of the social side, okay, into it, we're fighting a war that is not actually a war here for us. And so this is what, when we're talking about that, they're proclaiming another Jesus, okay? This is what's happening. It's a new doctrine. A new doctrine is coming out. And Christians, you should get on board because Christ was a social justice warrior, haven't you heard? Okay? And this is what's being pushed. And I'm like going, yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. Okay? He would not be on board with any of these things. He would actually fight against this. Here is from the New King James Version for the last part of this, okay? Where you see there in 4 where it says, you were receiving which you had not received, or a different glad message which you have never welcomed. I'm sorry, where am I here? Page 4. Okay, which ye never welcomed, ye are well bearing. This is the King James Version. Different gospel, which ye have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And I'm like going, that's it. Okay, that's exactly it. That you may well put up with it. That you just accept it. Well, that's just the new thing. Gotta get on board with it. Social justice. Christians are social justice warriors too. You may well put up with it, a new doctrine. And so this is where I'm calling people saying, no, do not put up with it. It is a new doctrine and it is not from Christ. It actually fights against it. It's a breakdown from the foundation to knock down Christ and to remove them and to take everything that is a spiritual warfare and make it a material warfare. Okay. Missed it. Second to last one, wouldn't you know, huh? Well, let me do it. Okay, I'll just go to it. Here we go. Okay, this is it. It literally will not let me open that. Why is that? That is absolutely crazy. Okay. I don't know. I don't understand that. Well, there we go. Get rid of that. So, anyways, that's it. We'll go ahead and close up here, guys. That's it. Okay.
It's up there, Fountain.
Good, good. All right. So, anyways, just in closing there, just to be on alert because this is coming. And it's funny because this has been, I've been working on this for research and some of the stuff here for the last couple of weeks. And then to find out that this garbage is coming right to our front doorsteps. Okay. And I'm going to tell you, the media is going to be eating this up. The people are, the college students, the young people are, millennials are. And it's the time to be able to say. So when I saw that, I'm like going, well, not really coincidence. So to be ready, to be armed with scripture. Okay. So we can come talk to these. The people who aren't Christians, you know what? Do you even know Christ? How are you sitting here telling me what Christ would do? Do you even know him? Is he your Savior? Okay, well then don't tell me what he would do if you don't even have that. Okay, but for those who do, that are falling hook and sinker into this because it's the new popular thing, okay, this is the new Jonas Brothers, and people are like going, man, you're about 15 years too late. But this is it. This is the new thing. And so as you're coming in contact with that, to be able to gently and nicely tell people and show them scripture, and they'll tell you, they'll come up with scriptures that will, they'll counter for their point. And it is also written. And let's look at this and let's see. And what is it in the Revelations when it says that there's going to, is there going to be different positions? Mm-hmm. Is there going to be different rewards? Yeah. How is that possible? How is that possible? That totally counters that. So yes, absolutely, this is right. And so that's where we're to do it and to defend these. Okay, so I'll go ahead and close and have a word. Yahweh, we thank you for everything you give to us, for your words, for the scriptures that we're able to open these up, to find the instruction, find the answers, find wonderful stories that will show your light, just as it's almost as a treasure box that when you open it up, that as we seek these things out, that we will find these things that will keep us in light, just great stories, great mysteries, and wonderful events, and connecting things together. For you, as you as a father, as you're watching your child go on a scavenger hunt, and watching him put the pieces together, and how excited that you must be for those who seek out your word and seek out your truth, and to obey your commandments and to love your commandments in your way. So we thank you, Yahweh, for that. We thank you for every believer here. We just thank you for the words that you pour out upon us. We thank you, Christ, that you are our head, and that we are the hands and feet, and that we are the body, and that we are to open our mouth and speak and to walk out and be shining bright even in the darkest. I think about that even in dark places, that this is where the light is required even more. And so not to ever put our guard down, but to walk out boldly, knowing who we are and what our position is and what authority we carry, and also be checking in with you, that we do not fall prey to snares and traps that are continually being laid out and set out by our adversary. So we thank you for us. We thank you for the words that you give us all through your name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, pin those things up on the cross that are your sins and your problems, knowing that as you do these things, that it is paid, it is taken care of. And so do not be carrying around the baggage, these things that you feel you are owed upon you because of the guilt that you carry. For this guilt that's coming upon you is coming from the adversary. For my son paid for these things that you may be guilt-free as you follow my ways, and as you repent and you pin these sins and confess these things out and cease from those wicked ways, that you will be forgiven and that you will have favor and you will have position. Amen. All right.
Thank you. I have a prayer request.